like to try to do today is hopefully a little bit more than a schematic overview of Parshas Tetzaveh, but to be able to analyze the Parsha in its entirety. Of course, this can only be done by studying the component parts. So I thought it'd be appropriate to begin by laying out the five clearly distinct sections of Parshas Tetzaveh, and the basic premise of today's shiur, the thesis that I'll try to lay out, is that Parshas Tetzaveh is really a parsha about one major topic. It has five sub-components to it. So we begin with a very brief section. I put in the length of each section. It's just a two-pasuk section in the beginning of the parsha about the Ner Tamid, which itself is very fascinating, right? The menorah was introduced back in last week's parsha in Parshas Truma, but the idea that we need something about the Ner Tamid at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh was a conundrum that occupied all of the Mephoreshim. After all, in Parshas Emor, we'll have a repetition of the same section in far greater detail. So the necessity of this parsha itself is in question, and moreover, the location is definitely in question. So that's the first section. Then we have probably what Parshas Tetzaveh is like most known for, which is the Big Day Kahuna, right? That's a 43-pasuk section, so it's a very extensive treatment. Then what we call the Shivas Yimei Hamiluim, the seven-day period of transformation. It wasn't just of training, but really of transforming what's called in the world of halacha a zar, somebody who doesn't have the status of a kohen into a kohen. That was a seven-day process, a really interesting section where the Torah says, Mipesach Olam Moed Lo Seitzu Shivas Yamim. There's a whole debate, you know, in the rabbinic literature regarding were they really not allowed to leave for 7 days? Maybe it was just during the daytime. Parenthetically, I should just note, does that remind you of anything where it says, Pesach Olam Moed Lo Seitzu Shivas Yamim? There's only one other time in the Torah we have that formulation outside of the Mishkan. What's that? So Mitzorah has to be Yotzei Michutz LaMachaneh. Very good. Right? So the Mitzorah is not allowed back into the Machaneh. So maybe this is like a parallel opposite of the Mitzorah, right? They're not allowed to leave, in this case, the Mishkan. But there is one other time where you actually find this in the Torah, where people are told that they're not allowed to leave somewhere, not for 7 days. Excellent, right. V'atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker. Alvin, outstanding. Well, that's really interesting, right? That the night of Korban Pesach, the Jewish people had to stay in their homes the entire night. That's actually, Paro says, Kumutsu mitochami gam atem gam b'nei Yisrael. And the famous Medrash says that Moshe said to Paro, you know, I'd like to leave, but, you know, we can't. V'atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker. I'm not just, you know, pointing out, this parallel, but I'm obviously going somewhere with this. What I'd like to suggest is that we find this construct of not leaving a particular place when you're conferring the status of Kohanim on people. So in this week's parasha, we have the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, we Pesach Olam Moed Lo Seitzu Shivas Yamim, by Korban Pesach, Ve'atem Tiuli, Mamlechas Kohanim V'goy Kadosh, the beginning of that process. And we know the home was a quasi, you know, mikdash on that night. You had the Avodas Adam. I'm a big believer in that parallel. Okay, so that's the third topic. Also very extensive, 46 psukim. It's about equivalent in length to the Big Day Kahuna. And then we have the Korban Tamid, which very much like the Parsha of Ner Tamid, at the beginning of the Parsha, its location here has to be in question, and also its necessity in its own right has to be in question. Why do I say that? Because what do we know about the Parsha Satamid? Is this the only time it comes up in the Chumash? It's like every Rosh Chodesh, we read the Parsha Satamid from Pinchas in the general section of the Korbanos, right? So we start off with, as Korbanilach Milisha. In fact, it's almost verbatim. The words are so similar between the sections. So that's the fourth topic. And then, you know, probably the most famous dilemma of all is the end of the Parsha, the Koda is the Mizbeach HaKtoras. So why was that so problematic? Nothing wrong with the Mizbeach HaKtoras. Mizbeach HaKtoras is my personal favorite kli in the entire Mishkan. Okay, but what's problematic about the Mizbeach HaKtoras in Parshas Tetzaveh? Yeah, it should have been in Truma. It's this discrimination against the Mizbeach HaKtoras, you know. You know, it's a a very fine kli in the Mishkan, some people's favorite kli. And it's backloaded into Parshas Tetzaveh, and it's at the very end of Parshas Tetzaveh. So that's a strange phenomenon in its own right. So those are the five subcategories. So you start with the Ner Tamid. It's really interesting. You know why it's there. And then again, we move on to the Big Day Kahuna, V'yasisa Big Day Kodesh, La'aron Achicha L'chavod L'sifares. Then we have the Shivas Yimei Hamiluim, again conferring the status of Kohanim on Aaron Uvanav, the five individuals, Nadav Aviv, Elazar, and Itamar. Then we have the Parshas of a Korban Tamid, and then we have the Ketores. Now, just make one more general observation before we start to proceed more systematically. Now, it's interesting that the Parsha is bookended by the Menorah and the Mizbeach HaKetores, because we know the Halacha that these were all the avodah was always done together. The Torah tells us, we'll read it in a second, that the Kohen who was doing the avodah HaKetores would go in b'shas hadlakas haneros. All right, so that's really interesting that the parasha is bookended by things that are halachically, in terms of the avodas hamishkan or avodas hamikdash, deeply related. Okay, so that's what's there in Tetzaveh. What's not in Tetzaveh? Ah, very good. Excellent. Not everybody could hear that, so I'll repeat it. Right? Moshe's name. Moshe's name, right? Moshe first appears, obviously, in Shmos. And between Shmos and his Zos HaBracha, Moshe appears in every single parasha, except Tetzaveh. Again, we all hear that in elementary school. You could even probably win the kudot on behalf of children or grandchildren if you want to, you know, somebody's going to be asked that question this week. Money will definitely be on the table or prizes. So it's the only parasha where Moshe's name isn't mentioned. I don't consider this to be a trivial point, especially because Moshe is so active throughout the parasha. The most famous pasuk in the parasha, V'asisa v'gdei kodesh la'aron achicha, is obviously directed at Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chavur l'sifares. And the truth of the matter is, it's not just that Moshe is absent, but he's so conspicuously absent. The constant use of the second person instead of his name is this inescapable feature of the parsha. So again, I'm going to try to incorporate that observation. Right? Sometimes you have to know what's not there, not just what is there, into the thesis that we'll try to defend this morning. So we'll begin at the end. We'll start with the Mizbeach HaKetores. So if you take a look, this is your first source here. V'asisa mizbeach miktar ketores atzei shitim taseh oso. So you're supposed to make a mizbeach. Again, you would think you're back in Parshas Truma, where all of the major kelim are atzei shitim, from the Aron to the Shulchan to the mizbeach hanechoshes. So, you know, we're having a little bit of like a time warp. Are we back last week? Asisa mizbeach miktar ketores atzei shitim taseh oso. Amar roko v'amar rachbo ravua yeah. V'yamasayim komaso mimenu karnosav, the karnos hamizbeach, where the actual, as we'll see, avodas hadam, the one time a year we do avodas hadam, where that's performed, is organic to the mizbeach haktores. V'tipiso so sahav tohor, es gago, es kirosav, saviv es karnosav, v'asisalo zer zahav saviv. So like the aron, and like the shulchan, this is now a third kli that has a zer, that has some kind of a crowning element to it. Ushtei tabo sahav tasalomi tachas zero al shtei salosav tasal shnei tzidav v'ayal levatim levatim lases oso bahema. So it has the same structure, the poles, the rings, that's how you carry it. V'asisa sabadim atzei shitim v'tzipisa osam zahav v'nasata oso lifnei haparochas. You position it directly opposite the parochas. In other words, on the other side of the parochas is the aron. That localization seems really important. Asher al aron haidus, lifnei hakapores, asher al haidus, asher iva'ed l'cha shama. So the Mizbeach HaKetores has really been given a dramatic significance. We're saying that, you know, it's literally directly opposite. You know, if you have an aerial view of the Mishkan, if you could, like, look in, you know, through the three layers, the Michseh and the Mishkan and the Ohel, and you could peer in, so you'd see the parochas and you'd see the aron, and exactly opposite, you'd see the Mizbeach HaKetores, like very significantly. V'hiktir alav aharon, ketores samim baboker baboker, beitivo esan iros yaktirena. So that's what I was alluding to previously, the connection between the Mizbeach HaKetores and the menorah, right, bookending our parasha. We start with the menorah, we conclude with the Mizbeach HaKedoras, lehalacha, right, they're integrated one with the other, that Aharon, he's presented as if it has to be Aharon, that the Ramban would not let that one slide. So Aharon would put the Ketores on it every morning when he would be Meitiv es HaNeros, Uvalos Aharon es HaNeros, Bein HaRabayim Yatirena, when Aharon would light the Neros in the afternoon, towards evening, then he would again go back to the Mizbeach HaKetores, Ketores Tamid Lefnei Hashem L'Doros Eichem. So it's every single day, twice a day, just like it's a keves echad tasev aboker, beis a keves hasheni tasev bein arbaim. It's important to remember that there are three institutions in the Mikdash that work this way. Most famously, the Korban Olah, keves echad tasev aboker, ha keves hasheni tasev bein arbaim. There's a mincha, there's a Korban mincha, half of which is brought, machtisa baboker, machtisa ba'arev, and then you have the ketores, okay? The ketores works the same way. According to the Rambam, the menorah was a fourth institution. The Rambam felt that the menorah was lit by morning and by evening. Rashi says only evening. The Ramban takes a middle position on that question. The Ramban says, Ner Ma'aravi, every morning, the rest of the menorah, every night. Fine. V'alo saronas aneros ben arbaim yaktirena ketores tamid ifnei adonai l'doros eichem. Lo salu alav ketores arav ve'ola u'mincha v'neseich lo tischu alav. You're not supposed to offer any other korbanos besides the ketores on this Mizbeach HaKetores. It's a specialized kli. V'chiper Aharon al Karnosav, achas bashana. Achas bashana in the Chumash always means which day? Yom Kippur. Achas bashana, I like what to always say, there aren't 365 days a year. There's 364 days and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a qualitatively different kind of a day. It's achas bashana. We don't mean one day a year, we mean the singular day of the year. Okay, so we haven't heard about Yom Kippur yet, by the way. Yom Kippur hasn't even been introduced in the Torah. The amazing thing to realize is that Yom Kippur, as a day, is introduced through the prism of the Mizbeach HaKetores, which I love. Okay, well, maybe we'll say a little bit more about that later. The Mizbeach HaKetores was in what we call the Kodesh, so it's in the same area, generally speaking, where the menorah is to the south, the Shulchan is to the north. It's right in the middle, equidistant from those two kelim, but it's directly lined. The way the Torah orients it here is actually, believe it or not, relative to the Aron. It's just that the Paruchas is in between. Okay, good question. V'chiper Aron al Karnosav achas bashana midam chatas haKippurim. We haven't had Parshas Achrimos yet. We don't know about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. You know, the Torah is like making this assumption. Okay? Achas bashana, it's twice in one pasuk, yechaper alav v'derosechem, Kodesh Kodashim Hu LaHashem. So the Ramban, Kedarko BaKodesh, makes the observation. He says, you know, it's interesting. If you read these psukim, you get the impression that Aharon was the one who had to offer the Ketores. It always talks about Viktir Alav Aharon Ketores Samim Baboker Baboker. Uvalos Aharon Es Haneros Bein Arbaim Yaktirena Ketores Tamim. But that's not the halacha. Any Kohen could offer the Ketores. Why is the Torah projecting, like, you know, the essential role that Aharon plays in the Ketores? It's not true, lahalacha. So Ramban says, I don't know, you know, maybe Aharon was the first, maybe he, like, he had a special attachment to this Avodah. But the question, for now, seems a little bit more compelling than the answer. Just after the ellipses, after he presents the question, the Ramban says, "Ulai b'pnei shitas akas of the matav v'chiper Aharon al karnosav shehu ba'aron bilvad." Maybe it's because the Torah wanted to introduce the avodas yom haKippurim, which we know can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. Maybe that's a theory. Oshi yirmosh Aharon yaskil b'ktoros ubeneros, or maybe, you know, he was the first. As we said, that question of the Ramban is going to be a linchpin in our analysis. The Chizkuni, it takes on the fundamental issue here. What about the displacement of the Mizbeach HaKetores from Parshas Truma, not just the Parshas Tetzaveh, but the back end of Parshas Tetzaveh, as if it's an afterthought, even though it's like this fundamentally important kli. It's right opposite the Aron. It's, you know, right there with the menorah and the Shulchan. So the Chizkuni writes, Yasisa Mizbeach Miktar HaKetores, Lo Hiskiro Ad Achar Mizbeach HaOlah, right? It was backloaded, I would say, after the primary Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which appears in Parsis Truma, in Shishi. Lefisha Rotzalomar Lo Salu Alav Olah Umincha V'Nesach. All right, so the Chizkuni forwards the suggestion that, you know, you needed to first introduce the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, even though that's an area of much lesser Kedusha, that's in the Chatzar Mishkan, to really appreciate the Mizbeach HaKetores, which is a specialized kli. You had to first say that, by the way, there's this Mizbeach HaOla, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes in the courtyard, and then from there you'd be able to say, oh, it's really special, the Mizbeach HaKetores, you can't offer a Chatas on it, you can't offer an Ola on it, you can't offer a Shlamim on it. All right. That suggestion leaves me a little bit cold, because if that's true, so put it in Truma and Shvi. I don't know if it has to be in Parshas Tetzaveh. I don't know that it has to be, you know, categorically displaced from the Klei HaMishkan. So that strikes me as at least somewhat speculative. Moshe Hizkiro, the Chizkini goes on, Yisrael Achar Menorah V'chein B'maisel V'yishirot Zalomar B'yitivo Esaniros Yaktirana V'omer B'halos Aron Esaniros B'in Arbaim Yaktirana. All right. So then the Chizkuni says, and also had to come after the parish of the Ner Tamid. So if you want to say it has to be in Tetzaveh, if that's the claim, then put it at the very beginning of Tetzaveh. So this Chizkuni, I think, you know, raises more questions than it does answers. The Ramban couldn't help but confront the issue. Everybody had to confront the issue. Mizbeach HaKetores. You can't seriously study Tetzaveh without trying to answer the question. So the Ramban, who again already makes the observation that the Torah seems to be overstating the role of Aharon in terms of offering the Ketores, please keep that in mind. So the Ramban says, "V'asisa mizbeach miktar Ketores, hinei mizbeach Ketores min hakelim hapnimim haya." It was one of the kelim in the inner sanctum, right? It was, as we spoke about, next to the menorah and the shulchan, right opposite the Aron. Roy shi'askirenu im shulchan menorah. It should have been in Parshas Truma. Shomunachimayim. It should have been early on in Parshas Truma, to be honest. V'chein hizkirim v'maisev Parshas Vayakel. If you look in Parshas Vayakel, where they actually build the Mishkan, so the Mizbeach HaKetores is discussed in its proper place. Aval atamla hizkiru kan achar Mishkan v'chol kelav v'hakorbanos. The Ramban is a fascinating theory. Bavur sh'amar b'tashlam hakol v'nikdash b'chvodi v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. These are the psukim that immediately precede the Mizbeach HaKetores. Amar ki od yischayav lam sheyasim Mizbeach miktar Ketores lahazkir lahaktir, excuse me, l'chavod Hashem. V'zehu raz shenimsa l'Moshe Rabbeinu shaketores otzeres mageifa ki haketores midas hadin. The Ramban gets a little bit metaphysical here. So the Ramban had said basically that after the entire Mishkan was constructed and we have all of the other important events, so to speak, of Parshas Tetzaveh, so the Mizbeach HaKetores is then presented. So if you're ever looking to unpack a Ramban, you want to go to one of two places. The Ramban doesn't specify exactly why the Mizbeach HaKetores is severed, but he's simply suggesting that everything in a certain sense was complete before you got to the Mizbeach HaKetores. So if you ever want to unpack a Ramban, you go to one of two places. Either you go to Rabbeinu Bechaya, who was the Ramban's primary Talmud in terms of Parshanut, or you go to the Sforno, who spent a lifetime unpacking the Ramban. So the Sforno here, I think, has a very good distillation of what the Ramban may have meant by saying that in a certain sense, everything was complete without the Mizbeach HaKetores. How could that possibly be? It's such a fundamental kli. Avodas Yom HaKippurim surrounds it. Sforno says the following. Lo huzkar zeh mizbeach im shara kelim v'parshas Truma. Ki lo haisa hakavana bo l'hashkin ha'el yisbarach b'sochenu. This kli has a different telos than all of the other kelim in the Mishkan. The entire project of the Mishkan is to bring the Shechina into the midst of the Jewish people. The Rambam, when he paskins that mitzvah of having a Beis HaBechira, so he says, yeah, all of the kelim are pratim. We don't count a separate mitzvah of building a mizbeach. We don't count a separate mitzvah of building the aron or a separate mitzvah of building a shulchan, because they're all pratim in terms of building the Mishkan, which has the telos of sort of bringing the Shechina into the Jewish people. Okay? And the Mizbeach HaKetores is not part of that. So this is a very radical suggestion, but if it's true, it really makes sense. If you say the Mizbeach HaKetores had nothing to do with Vishachanti Bisocham, so then I could really understand why it's not in Truma and it's not in Tetzaveh either, which is all about, right, you know, the Kohanim that will keep the Mikdash, you know, running, the Big Day Kuna, the Shiva Simei HaMiluim, and then the Korban Tamid, which will be the, you know, the staple Korban of the mikdash. Okay, so gam lo haya inyanu lahorid marek vodo babayis kin in my sakrabanus kamerov in oati sham lifnei Israel. So pray tell, what is the function of the ketores of al haya inyan zaham isbeach lechabed es hakel yisbarach acharei bo'o lekabel beratzona avodas ambo bekorbanos haboker ve'erev. So the Sforno, distilling the Ramban, says that all of the kelim in the Mishkan had the function of creating a structure where God could rest his presence. Then once Hashem comes, we offer the ketores as an acknowledgement of God's presence, to show honor and to glorify God's presence. Now if that's true, which I think is a remarkable suggestion, again, it's very persuasive that the Mizbeach HaKetores should come after the pasuk of v'nikdashti b'solcham, v'shachanti b'solch b'nei Yisrael, v'nikdash b'chvodi. It all makes perfect sense. I think it's a very audacious take on the, you know, on the ketores, but if it's true, I think it makes a lot of sense. Okay, so you should know that's the literature that's sort of out there on this topic. The Chizkuni, like I said, you know, I think there are more questions than answers regarding his approach, that it had to be after the menorah. I'm not sure why it has to be, you know, at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. And he says it also has to be after the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, so why couldn't you put it in Shvi of Truma? The Sforno, distilling the Ramban, says that it had a different function, this particular kli, than all of the other kelim in the Mishkan. Okay, so let's keep that literature in the back of our minds. I think an alternative is still possible. And that's what I'd like to suggest. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Parsha of the Ner Tamid. So, Torah tells us, V'atat tzavez b'nei Yisrael. Moshe's name isn't mentioned so conspicuously. He's addressed so many times, but his name is just never there. V'ikhu elecha shemen zayizach. They bring to you, Moshe, this oil of the highest quality. Kasis lamor lahalos ner tamid. Be'o'o moed michutz laparochas. Asher al ha'idus yarocho so aharon. Uvanav me'er bad boker lifnei Hashem. Chukas olam ledorosam. Me'es b'nei Yisrael. Now, why do we need the Parsha of the Ner Tamid here? As I said before, it appears in Parshas Emor with more details. It's not clear at all. So the Chizkuni has a fascinating idea. After the Melechas HaMishkan was substantively completed in Parshas Truma, we have to worry about light fixtures. So after, you know, all of the Shamayim Va'aretz was established, we have Yom Revi'i, Yihi Me'oros, Birkiah Shamayim, Ve'en Kan Ikar Mitzvah Parshas Baloscha. So the Chizkuni has some kind of an analog. He says, you know, the Mishkan was like a microcosmic world, and if you go back to Ma'aseh Bereishis, first we establish Shamayim Va'aretz, and then we establish the Me'oros. That's a really interesting suggestion. So the Torah had to, insert this brief interlude of two psukim that relates to, you know, how the Mishkan was going to be lit. So what about the Parsha in its own, right? The Parsha, as we know, appears in Baloscha. V'yidaber Adonai Moshe l'mor. Daber l'aron v'amarti lav Baloscha saneros amul p'nei ha-minorah ya'iru shiva saneros. V'ya'as kena haron amul p'nei ha-minorah ha'ala nerosa kasher tziva Adonai es Moshe. The Ramban comments there, v'ya'as kena haron. I hope this rings a bell. V'tam v'ya'as kena haron lomar shehu ayah ha-madlik osan kol yamav. That Aaron always was the one to light the menorah. The afalpi shamitzvah kshira bibana. If it could be done by any kohen, Aaron was always makbid to light the menorah. Kimoshinemar yarocho so Aaron ubanav. It could have been his banav. Elazar ni Tamar could have done it. Aval hayahu mizdaris b'mitzvah hagidola hazos. What does that remind us of? Whose observation and about what? Oh, okay, good. So you're right. So the Ramban, in context here, it's important to know that Ramban, he doesn't understand why Rashi thinks that Aaron did such a terrible chalishas hadas that he didn't participate in the Chanukah samizbeach of Nisim, right? He doesn't understand this whole idea of shalcha gedolah mishalahem. So what the Ramban explains over there is that, you know, Aharon felt okay, you know, the Chanukah samizbeach, so that's limited to a time when there's going to be korbanos. And Hashem was being merames to him that the menorah and what it represents is basically kiner mitzvah v'torah or, so that sort of transcends, you know, the space of the Mizbeach. It's a reference to the Chashmonaim, il malihem nishtachu ha-torah v'mitzvah Yisrael. Good, I was actually going to mention that context. So the Ramban is operating within that premise, and then Aharon, once he appreciated how the menorah reflects the significance of, you know, the kahuna, even beyond the realm of Mikdash, right? Yorum ishbatach liyakov isaras chal Yisrael. So he's mizdares lasos samitzvah gdolazos. Very good. But just to get back to the question that I asked, is there any other place and any other Rishon who thinks, you know, Aaron didn't need to do something, but he chose to do it anyway? Where do we see that just like a few moments ago? So when it came to the Mizbeach HaKtores, right, what did the Ramban say there? He's not sure why the Torah keeps on specifying that Aaron is the one to do this. He says it could be any Kohen. Remember, he had all these speculations. He says, oh, well, maybe it just means he did it at first, or maybe it's because of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So you have this fascinating parallel between Hadlakas HaMenorah and Haktaras HaKtores. And in both cases, the Ramban is the one to make the observation that lehalacha, you don't need the Kohen Gadol to do this, and yet Aharon personally felt deeply invested and attached to these two avodos. Okay, that I think is going to be a linchpin in the analysis. So, as we just reflected on, it's not only the menorah, but it's the ketores that Aharon was makbid umizdares lasos es avoda, even though, again, it was kosher, b'chol kohen v'kohen. This strikes me as profoundly important. In fact, what I'd like to suggest is that Aaron's life, in many respects, l'tova u'l'ra'a, is really, can only be understood through the prism of the Ketores. Let's think about, you know, the major events of the life of Aaron HaKohen. Great events, tragic events. Okay, so let's start with Nadav and Avihu. It may be the most tragic event in the entire Torah. Vayidom Aaron. Of course, what happened to Nadav and Avihu? Right? Esh zara asher lo tziva osam. They offered somehow an inappropriate ketores. Were they shesuei yayin? Were they mor halacha bifnei rabam? Whatever it was. But they died with the machta in their hands. That we know. Okay? What was Aaron's finest hour? What's that? Okay, right. So maybe by Yidom Aaron, right? You know, within that tragic context. Kibel schar al ashtika. So, right. His finest hour? Question mark, right. What was his finest hour? Beautiful. How did he stop the magefa? Vayamod ben amesim uvein achayim. Vatayatra magefa. How did he stop the magefa? What was he holding? The ketores. He holds the ketores in his hand. To that point, just to put this in context, how many Jews died in that magefa? 14,700. Five times as many died in the Egel. To that point, it was the worst magefa in the Torah. Okay, Baal Peor, you get 24,000. And Aaron stops it holding on to the ketores. Now, that's within an entire context where Aharon's status as the Kohen Gadol is challenged by Korach and his Edah, surrounding, of course, what? The Ketores. Right? What do they do? They show up to the Mishkan. By Kchu Ish Machtaso. If you want to be the Kohen Gadol, right, how do you prove it? That your Ketores will be the one that's accepted. And of course, you know, we can't talk about the Ketores and Aaron HaKohen without talking Bezos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, right? V'lakach melo hamachta gacha le'esh me'al ha-mizbeach milifnei Hashem u'melo chafnav k'tores samim daka v'hevim ibeis la'paroches lifnai v'lifnim achas bashana. How does he go in lifnei Hashem? B'k'tores. Aaron's life revolves around the k'tores. His great moments, Avodas Yom HaKippurim, his tragic moments, Nadav and Avihu, his heroic moments, Vateyatzar Hamagifa, and it's really no accident at all. Because what the Ketores represents, don't take it from me, Chazal were the ones to come up with the idea. What the Ketores represents is the notion of the unity of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara Masechta Krisos, we'll just skip ahead a little bit. I didn't put it in here. Okay, so we'll see it in quoted by the Tur. So, Shulchan Aruch tells us, Le'el Yom HaKippurim, Nohagin Shomer Shliach Tzibur, this is the 15th source, B'yeshiva Shel Malo, B'yeshiva Shel Mata, Al Das HaMakom, Al Das HaKal, Anu Matirim Lihispalil Im HaVar Yonim. And then you go on with Kol Nidre. It's a very dramatic moment, but it's totally enigmatic. All of the Nosei Kelim, the Shulchan Aruch, have their theories as to like what this is all about. Why the Taz thinks that we're reminding them you really need to do tshuva. Anu matirin lispalim barvarim. You know, we'll let you come to shul. You know, we'll charge you high holiday tickets, but we'll let you come to shul. But don't think that being here is enough. You really need to do tshuva. So I don't think that's the pshat. But the tour, in his take on this, quotes the Gemara in Krisos. Arvis nichnasan beis haknesses on Yom HaKippurim. V'noagin ba'ashkenaz shekodem sheispalu matirin l'cholav aryanim. We ask rishus of all of these sinners. Kedei liispalu imohem. V'afilu imo yivakshu sheyatiru lahem. And even if they're not interested, they say, you know, we don't give rishus. The guy stands up and says, I'm the biggest Tavarian in the community, and I give no such rishus. You know, we're having our own minion. Doesn't matter. D'amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, kol tainis tshibor, she'ein bo miposha Yisrael, eino tainis. That our Yom Kippur is no Yom Kippur, our tainis is no tainis, unless we all band together. Where does that idea come from? From the Ketores. Sherei chalbina, Rechara, Chalbina, which is one of the Samimanim of the Ketores, has an offensive olfactory nature. And yet, Tumina Akasav, Im Samane HaKetores, etc. And yet, it has to be part of the Ketores as a whole. It represents the Poshe Yisrael. The Avoster of Nasan, very dramatically and very famously, talks about Aharon being the Oev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom, Oev Esabrios, Umekarban the Torah, Oev Shalom Ketzad, Melamet Yadam Oev Shalom be Yisrael, Ben Kolechad Vechad, Kederach Shea Aaron Oev Shalom, Ben Kolechad Vechad, Shenemar, Torasemes Haisa Befu, Vavla, the Nimsa Bisvasa, Vishalom, Mishur Halachi, Tivir Rabim, Heshib, Meavon. Shea Aaron Mahalik Maderach, Pagobo Adam Rasha. So he'd meet one of the Poshe Yisrael. Benasan Lo Shalom. And he would just talk to him. He wouldn't criticize him. He wouldn't belittle him. He wouldn't denigrate him explicitly or implicitly. He would just treat him nicely. L'machar b'keish oso aish lavor aveira. So the guy is going to do his typical aveira. So Amar oily heyach esayin ayachar kach veres aron. Boshti emenu shenasin lishalom nimtso saish mani atzmo min aveira. Aron was the Ketores personified. His approach, in some respects different than Moshe, Yikov HaDin HaSahar, Aaron's approach recognized the significance of each and every member of Klal Yisrael, even and especially the Poshe Yisrael. And that's a lesson that we extract, as the Gemara in Krisos points out, from the Ketores itself. What I'm suggesting is that it's not accidental that all of the major moments of Aaron HaKohen's life surrounded the Ketores. Because the Ketores is a metaphor for Aaron's worldview. And if that's true, I think all of Parshas Tetzaveh can be revisited in a different light altogether. Because the truth of the matter is, as we noted, Moshe Rabbeinu's name, remarkably, even though he's addressed so many times, doesn't appear in the parsha. It's the parsha of Aharon HaKohen, Mitchila ve'ad sof. Of course, obviously, V'asisa v'kdei kodesh l'Aharon achicha l'chavod l'tifares. Obviously, within the context of the Shiva Simei HaMiluim of transferring and promoting him to be a Kohen. But I think the most compelling reason that the Mizbeach HaKtores is backloaded from Parshas Truma to Parshas Tetzaveh is that in many ways it's the personal korban of Aaron HaKohen. Sure, the Ramban is correct. It didn't have to be Lehalacha Aharon who offered the Ktores. But how could you have a Ktores without Aharon? Aharon represented the Ktores, the idea of the unity of Klal Yisrael, even Poshe Yisrael having a critical role to play within the Tzibor in its entirety, Sheharei Chalbana Rechara. And Aharon would be Pogeya Echad Miposhe Yisrael. He responded not in the language or in the behavior of exclusion, but in the behavior and the gesture of inclusion. If that's true, it seems to me an extremely persuasive reason to have the Mizbeach HaKetores, with everything that it represents, in Aharon's personal parsha, the one parsha in the Torah which was reserved for Aharon. Moshe's role is downplayed, is minimized, specifically so that we could appreciate the perspective and the persona of Aharon HaKohen. And especially if it's true that the Ketores has to be understood in light of the menorah, as was observed by the Ramban and others, so then it would make sense to have that two pasuk introduction, Titzaves b'nei Yisrael b'kichui lecha shemen zayisach, if it's really the case that we can't introduce the Mizbeach HaKtores v'hiktira alav aron ketores samim baboker baboker behetivoes haneros yaktirena. From the very beginning of the parsha, what we're setting up is its crescendo. We're setting up the climax of the parsha, the Mizbeach HaKtores, which reflects the unique role and standing of Aharon, in particular, Achas Bashana. With your permission, just wanted to take the idea, maybe one step further, and see how it's instantiated in the Big Day Kahuna Gedola itself. With this, I'll end my remarks and just open it up if people have comments or questions. But it's very fascinating. If you look at the details and the design of the Big Day Kahuna, in particular the Big Day Kohen Gadol, you know, like the Kelim of the Mishkan itself, it seems like there's a lot of spiritual messaging embedded within them. The first beged, which is described in any detail, is the ephod. There's a lot of reasons to believe, by the way, that the Choshen is the central beged of the Kohen Gadol, the Hayu Alev Aaron, it's over its heart, but you really can't have the Choshen without the Ephod. The Choshen was stabilized by the Kitvos HaEphod, these suspenders that come over. So the Ephod has what's called on it Avnei Shoham. Shisha Mishmosam Al Ha'Even HaChas VeShemos HaShisha Nosarim Al Ha'Even HaSheni Kitoldosam. That means that there were two stones. The Ramban thinks that they were actually engraved, the names of the Jewish people, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, on one stone, the six younger tribes on the other stone. And the Torah tells us, V'nasa Aharon es Shemosam al Shteich Tefav Lezikaron, that Aharon carried the names of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders whenever he wore the ephod. Then you have what's called the Avnei Miluim, right on the Choshen, on the breastplate. Each tribe was given a stone unto itself. And the Torah tells us, V'hayu alev Aharon, V'nasa Aharon es mishpat b'nei Yisrael lifnei Hashem. And he carried these stones over his heart. So you have this image of Aharon carrying the names of the Jewish people on his shoulders and carrying them in his heart. Carrying them on his shoulders on the ephod, carrying them over his heart in the Choshen. There's an Issur d'oraisa recorded in this week's parasha, V'lo yizach ha-choshen me'al ha-ephod. You're not allowed to detach the Choshen from the ephod. Anyone who will detach the Choshen from the ephod has violated an Issur d'oraisa and gets Malkos, says the Gemara in Temura. What's the nature of this Issur? What's the nature of this prohibition? So what I'd like to suggest, based on what we've said so far, is that Aaron, as a paradigmatic leader of Klal Yisrael, demonstrated two essential qualities. First, as is represented by the Avnei Shoam, any leader of the Jewish people has to be willing to carry the Jewish people on his shoulders, to take personal responsibility. V'nasa Aharon eshmosam al shtei ktefav zikaron. But that's not enough. It can't be that I'm simply willing to go through the motions and to do the work, however taxing it is. A true leader of the Jewish people carries the Jewish people on his shoulders because he has their best interests in his heart. V'hayu alev Aharon. You can't have one without the other. If you have somebody who says he or she cares a great deal, that's terrific. But if they're not willing to do the work, it's not enough. And if you have somebody who's willing to, you know, grind through it, but not because it's really in their heart, so that also isn't just suboptimal, but in some senses invalid. V'lo yizach ha-choshen me'al ha-efod. They have to be tied together, inextricably linked. A true leader of Klal Yisrael has the best interests of the people in his heart, v'hayu alev aharon, and then that expresses itself in his willingness to carry the Jewish people very much on his shoulders. V'lo yizach ha-choshen me'al ha-efod. They're inextricably linked and inseparable. Aaron's life, I think, reflected this duality. Aharon always had the best interests of Klal Yisrael, even in his moments of failure. He always had the best interests of Klal Yisrael in his heart. He's the paradigmatic Ohev Yisrael, Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrios, Umikarv on the Torah. Even the Poshe Yisrael, he didn't reject, he didn't in any sense denigrate. V'hayu alev Aharon. They were all in his heart, and they all had a very special place within his heart. But it wasn't only that. He was prepared day in and day out al shtei chtefav to do the work of the Jewish people. V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso uva'ad kol kahal Yisrael. He was prepared to work for them, and even when it must have been almost impossible for him to do so. Vayidom Aharon. In moments of terrible personal tragedy, when anybody else would have and could have taken a day off from work, he continued to press forward because the people needed him to do so. And he stood very much in that breach. Every single Yom Kippur, I'm always stunned and reverentially silent myself during the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur. Acharemos shnei bnei Aharon bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. The first question I ever asked about the Torah, sitting next to my father in shul, I was six, and I said, it was very strange to me, Nadav and Avihu died back in Parsha Shmini, and then you have this Tazria Mitzorah, then you have Acharemos, and it says, Acharemos shnei bnei Aharon bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. So I was very perplexed. Why is it saying three parshios later, Acharei Mosh, Shnei Bnei Aharon? I think that year it also wasn't the double parsha, so it really felt like a long time. So Father took me to the rabbi. He introduced me to the principle of Ein Mukdam U'uchar Batorah. I was like so disappointed. There's got to be a better reason out there. But of course, truth is that the Torah is drawing our attention to the heroism of Aaron HaKohen. Every single year on Yom Kippur, he took the Torah in his hand, symbolizing and signifying his commitment to Klal Yisrael, and walked with the Torah 40 years over the place where that which was most precious to him, his two sons, had died holding the Torah. And if that is not Mesiras Nefesh, if that is not heroic self-sacrifice, not one, but two children who died there holding that Torah, walking unflinching to be mechaper, not for himself, bado vad beso, but more importantly, v'ad kol kahal Yisrael. This is v'lo yizach ha-choshen me'al ha-efod, a person who carries the Jewish people on his shoulders because he has them in his heart. V'hayu alei v'haron. So the Torah tells us, of course, that the Avodas Yom HaKippurim can only be understood and only appreciated acharei mos shnei b'nei Aharon. His heroism, his personal commitment was something that we can only, you know, in our own way, be reverentially, you know, silent about. So in that respect, Parshas Tetzaveh is really a peon to Aharon HaKohen. And probably there was nobody happier that Aharon got a parsha all to himself than Ha'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od Mikol, Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Adama. Well, if you asked Moshe, he would have had every parsha be that way. But at least this one parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh, is a reflection of the personal status of Aharon HaKohen, hence the Big Day Kahuna, the Shiva Simei HaMiluim. The climax of the parsha, of course, is the Mizbeach HaKtores, the personal korban of Aharon HaKohen. Thank you very much.